It's kind of like five reasons you should join the choir. Now, in the olden days, a choir was out back and, you know, they sang and so forth. Reason number one, if you're in the choir, you'd want to see if the pastor has notes or had memorized his sermon. Number two, you know, if the place was overcrowded, you'd always be sure of a seat. All right, number three, the offering plate is never passed in the choir loft. That's a good one. Number four, I like this one. Choir robes, flattering for every body type. I mean, a choir robe, right? And then number five, this one's really good, because you get to watch the big clock on the back wall. Anyway, thought that was cute. We are in a series titled The Bait of Satan. It's a three-part series. This is part two. We'll finish up next week. And we said the bait of Satan is offendedness. And last week we discovered that the gap between expectation and performance is where offendedness can happen. In other words, you as a parent have expectations of children. And the expectation may be here, and the performance comes in down here, and there's a gap. And it's in that very place of gap where we experience the potential of offendedness. Now, understand that offendedness can happen in all different kinds of directions. Between a husband and a wife and a husband, children to parents, parents to children, co-worker to co-worker, family member to family member. Anytime there's a gap between what I expect of the person and where they come in at down here, this gap is the place of called offendedness. Now, the big idea of the entire series, it's in your notes, is this. The enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to trap and control you by hanging on to an offense. This is the trap that we had up in the attic of the church for a period of time, trying to catch something, which we never did. But there's a purpose of a trap. You put bait on the tray inside the trap, and when the animal puts its paw on the tray, both sides come down, and the animal is trapped on the inside. The same thing happens to us as humans when we take the bait of offendedness, put our paw on the tray, both sides come down, and we get stuck in our hearts. Something's not right. We don't feel good about ourselves. We're offended. We've taken the bait. That is the goal of the enemy to your soul. The second part of the big idea is this. Jesus wants to come along and free your heart, set you free from anything which restricts the flow of his love. He wants to get us out of the trap. He's got a way to lift up that which holds us back so we can be set free. So, the big idea, Satan wants to trap us. Jesus wants to set us free, and he wants to live in that place of freedom on the inside. So the title of today's message is this, Forgiving Others. Forgiving Others. The primary theme is when I've been offended by someone else. We're going to talk about that. We're going to go a few different places, but we're going to land there. But what I want to do now, I want to talk about three directions of offendedness. They're like big categories. And afterwards, we'll talk about four truths that can help us forgive somebody else. But first, three directions of offendedness. Number one, it's in your notes. We can be offended toward God. Offended toward God. Read with me the verse in your notes, John 11, 2. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here,
my brother would not have died.
This is a story of Lazarus. He has two sisters, Martha and Mary. Lazarus dies. And Jesus is having a conversation with Martha about 4 days after his death. Here's what Martha said. Jesus, if only you had been here, he would not have died. You might have an if only in your life. And if God had only done something, this would not have happened to me. It's a real thing. A few years back, we had a service here in the sanctuary, and then the family had a meal in the Harvey Center. I remember talking to a guy who was up in years, maybe in his 70s, and somehow it came out in the conversation. He said, I'm an atheist. It took me back. He's a well-dressed man, and he was there for the service, but he said, I'm an atheist. And he told me more of the story. He had a child at a young age who was in an automobile accident and died. He said he used to be involved with the choir, attended a church, and was very active. But now, decades later, he's an atheist. I didn't know a whole lot more of the story, but here's what I think happened. He had an if-only experience in his life. The daughter died, and he became angry and hurt and disappointed. And here's what I think happened. The emotional response of the gap between what I expected maybe God would do and what really happened was huge. The emotion got directed upward toward God. He was offended at God because he didn't come through in a way he thought he should. We're kind of like that too, aren't we? You pray hard for somebody to get healed, or you want something really bad and it doesn't happen, and you wonder, hey, is God hearing my prayer? And if we're not careful, the way we handle that offendedness can hurt us and keep us in the trap. There's something called blame that we hear a lot about. We hear it on the media a lot. People tend to blame other people, do they not? Now, here's what happens. If you get offended and you feel like God has let you down, be careful, because you may want to blame him because something didn't go your way. Now, here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. Blame directed toward God becomes a self-made wall of separation. I think the gentleman I talked to who said he was an atheist was hurt deeply, angry, and resentful. He directed his offendedness toward God and didn't deal with it properly. And today, or back then, he said, I'm an atheist. If you have an if only in your life, and you say, God, you didn't come through for me, deal with it the right way. You know why? Otherwise, it'll become a wall that will separate your soul to God. So offendedness, one direction, is toward God. Number two, the second category is toward others, toward other people. Read with me Ephesians 5:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So this whole thing about the principle of forgiving other people is a big deal. We have to learn from when people hurt us so we don't get re-hurt or smart going forward. But there's something key to when other people offend us. It's called forgiveness. You know why? If we don't do it, we end up inside the trap. We get stuck. It's invisible to other people, but there's something inside us that's not quite right. Read with me Romans 12, 17 and 19 in your notes. Do not repay evil anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. Last week we talked a little bit about this, but I want to talk about revenge. Revenge is when you've been hurt deeply and you want to get back at the other person. Now, it's normal and natural to have that emotion of, this isn't fair, this isn't right. Where we get into a problem is when we act on it in a way to inflict pain or repay the other person. And you know what the end result is of that? It's called complication. We just make a bigger mess when we act on a spirit of revenge to get back at another person. Now, here's the great insight. God says, leave room for him to do that. What does that mean? You and I need to take our hands off it. The problem is we love to do God's job. I want to get back at the person who hurt me, and therefore I'm going to act on this thing called revenge to get back at them. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Get freed up in your spirit and say, God, I would really like to get back at him or her, but I won't because it's God's job. Now, let me say, if there's the opportunity you have to talk it through with a person, certainly do so. Revenge is when you unilaterally try to do something to act or inflict pain on the other person because they hurt you. So here's a quote by Craig Rochelle. Life is too short. Your calling too great to be offended by something small. I mean, think about it. Life is too short to go through it and to just feel offended. Now, let me say there are big offenses, there's medium, and there's small ones. And I'll never diminish or discount if someone has been highly offended or hurt by someone. Maybe it's as a child, if they were molested, or as you journey through life, there's a deep betrayal of a marriage partner or a friend. I mean, those are really high on the scale. But listen, offendedness can get lodged inside us when we're hurt by other people. So, number one is toward God. Number two, toward others. Number three, toward yourself. You may not be mad at somebody else. You are not mad at God. But you can be mad at yourself. What does that mean? There's anger inside you that nobody sees or rarely sees. And you know who it's directed toward? It's directed toward you. Read with me Ephesians 4, 26 and 7 in your notes. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You know, we read this verse and have read it many times. We think of a husband and a wife or a friend, family member. You know, don't go to bed mad, which is a good principle. But listen, let me take it a different way. What if you go to bed mad at yourself? Day after day, week after week, month after month, and all of a sudden, the anger can breed and you're just mad at yourself. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, let's read it. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, that's a great verse, God is for us. But do you know who can be against you? You. Question for all of us, are you and I mad at ourselves? I mean, we all make mistakes and we have to deal with stuff in our past. But here's the problem. If we don't deal with offendedness toward ourselves properly, we bury it, we stuff it, we repress it, we put it in the basement of our souls, and it just sits there. And I'm angry, not at anybody else, but I'm angry at me. And here's what happens. It plugs us up. Here's what's happened to me. I'll be watching a TV program. Here's something on a radio broadcast or whatever, and it'll trigger or tap into this pocket of pain I have towards myself. A story or something will remind me of my story, and all of a sudden I'm in touch with anger towards myself. Jesus wants you to deal with that. Don't go to bed angry with anybody else. Don't go to bed angry at yourself. He taught us to love. Here's what he said. Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. If you're supposed to forgive other people, you're supposed to forgive yourself. Next week is part three of this series, and it's probably my favorite part. You know why? I'm going to talk about totally what to do when you're angry with yourself. And this whole thing about you got to do some work to get free and out of the trap when you feel like you're boxed in, not towards somebody else, but you're angry with yourself. So hopefully you're back next week. All right, here's a quote. You may find the worst enemy or best friend in yourself. Now, let me just plant this seed. If God is for us, why should you and I be against ourselves? But we are. We're not mad at him. We're not mad at somebody else. We're just mad at ourselves. We'll talk about that more next week. So, three things, three directions toward God, toward others, and toward ourselves. All right. Four truths about how to forgive other people. This is the heart of the message. Four truths of how to forgive other people. Number one, in your notes. First thing you do is this. Remember what God has forgiven you of. If you're having a hard time forgiving somebody else, here's step one. Take a look at your own life and say, God, what have you forgiven me of? Now, read with me Psalm 103:12 in your notes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Let me ask you a question. What has he removed from your life, in your past, that you're so thankful for? We all have our answers. We have a pile of stuff, do we not? He's forgiven. He's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we're glad he says, I will remember them no more. If you forgive, if you confess it, he'll forgive it. You release it. You trust it to his care. He says he throws them into the depths of the sea. And so we have this amazing God who forgave Moses of murdering a guy in a fit of anger. Saul, who consented to murder Christians. I mean, we got some bad apples in the kingdom that their sin was forgiven and it was removed from them as far as the east is from the west. How about you? What has he removed from your life? He's covered. He's set free. It's a great starting point when I think about I'm having a hard time forgiving another person of what they did to me. All right. Number two. The second truth is this. Forgiving someone is not excusing the other person's actions, but it is about setting yourself free. I want to shift focus. If you're struggling with forgiving someone else for what they do to you, think about it as what God wants to do in your heart. We get hung up because we feel like we need to pay them back or we want them paid back. So understand, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We'll roll it over unto him. But here's your prize and my prize. It's called freedom. He wants you out of the trap. He wants you to be unencumbered. You may never forget it, but you don't have to be trapped by it emotionally. So read with me Galatians 5:1 in your notes. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Circle the word freedom. There is your prize. God has freedom for you in such a way that he just wants your heart to be free. You know, if you think of your heart as a pipeline, what happens is when we forgive freely, we basically free up the pipeline. But if there's something clogging it, the flow of his love isn't able to go through us because of there's a clog of unforgiveness towards someone else. And so Jesus wants us to be free within ourselves. Here's a quote. Forgiveness is the one gift you don't give to others, although it can be a gift. Rather, it's a gift you give yourself so you can be finally free. So, do you think about having a hard time forgiving somebody else? First of all, you say, hey, what has God forgiven me of? Number two, where's my freedom factor? Am I there yet? Am I out of the trap? God wants us to get there. It's a gift we give ourselves. Number three, the third truth is this. It's a choice as an act of the will. It's not based on emotions. In other words, to forgive another person is a decision and an act of the will apart from how I feel about it. Emotions can somehow try and intercept our willingness to forgive because we're so angry, resentful, or mad. And so it's an act of the will. Read with me Matthew 18 in your notes. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times times seven. I think here's what he was saying. Have a lifestyle of hanging on loosely to people's offenses. Paul says, love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, when you think of parents and or grandparents, they're amazing people. You know why? They have to hang on loosely to offendedness of kids over and over and over again. It's a lifestyle to keep the love flowing. And so Jesus says, hey, be careful, be willing to forgive, learn from it so you're not taken advantage of, but have a willing heart. It's a choice as an act of the will to forgive. And finally, number four. The fourth thing is this. Follow Christ's example. Follow his example. Read with me Luke 23, 34 in your notes. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is an amazing verse to me. Jesus, the last day of his life, is hanging on the cross. And these people are crucifying him. And he looks out over them and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. If somebody's about to take my life, will I pray that God would forgive them as they do it? But Jesus did that as our example. If you're having trouble forgiving someone, number one, take a look at what God has forgiven you of and say, hey, maybe I need to lighten up. Number two, it's not about the other person's behavior and excusing it. It's about setting yourself free. Number three, it's a choice. It's an intentional decision to let it go. Number four, follow Christ's example. I mean, Jesus came to die for us for our sins, and in the process, he gives us authority and power to forgive other people, including ourselves, going forward. Here's my final quote. When you forgive, you heal. When you let go, you grow. Here's the question as we wrap up. Is there anything you need to forgive towards someone else? Because it's clogging your pipeline up on the inside. I mean, the Holy Spirit shows us very quickly. And is there something you need to let go of and let God have his rightful place of a vengeance or repaying the person? That's his job, not yours and mine. Now, as I said, if we can talk it through with somebody that helps in the healing process, sometimes it's not possible. But when you forgive, you heal. When you let go, you grow. Let's bow for prayer. I want to take just a few moments right now. You and God, the Holy Spirit will show you right now your heart. Is there anything that you are hanging on to that you need to forgive or let go of? He'll show it to you right now. And I want you to make a decision based on this truth. Christ is our example. Decide today, this moment, this service, to do that. Forgive and let it go. Take a few moments and just do that. Father, you're hearing the prayers of your people, and I just pray a prayer of covering over us all, including those online, that if there's anyone here today that has been struggling with something that they've tried to forgive and let go of, may today get them over the finish line. May they somehow cross something where there's a new beginning, a better future. And may you give empowerment to every person here to forgive and to let it go. Lord, some things can take months or even years to overcome, but I pray today will be a turning point for somebody here, that you will do a deep work in their life to unclog the pipeline in their hearts of your love flowing in them and through them to the people around them. Transform us, change us. Make us better versions of ourselves because of Christ living in us. Father, we just pray now your blessing upon each person here, those listening online, that you will be the God through Christ to set us free, that we will walk forward and walk out of the trap into a new place, a new space, called freedom, in which we live the abundant life. For this we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.